Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yay, hope you all had a good holiday season. I know we did. Had a great old time.
We were in rehab, actually, Dave and I was recovering from a serious cough. I ended every sentence with, so it's nice to be back.
Yes. Did you have a good Christmas? Did you get some good geeky stuff?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah?
Got a new phone. I guess it's kind of geeky. Actually, I don't know.
That's good. So. Means we can actually talk to you now.
Yeah,
what's the best DVD everybody got for Christmas? Because I'm going to go with either the Twin Peaks Gold Box Collection.
You got it? I'm going to have to borrow that after you watch it, because I need to see the show.
I got that and the Roger Corman Collection, which is all these wonderful B-movies like The Trip and X, the Man with the X-Ray Eyes. Just, golden.
Nice. You, sir?
You know, I didn't... The only DVD I got for Christmas was Halloween. So
really?
Yeah.
Ouch. Interesting.
Get in the stocking. Oh! Okay. Happy birthday, Jesus. Yeah, so I don't know.
So how is it? How is it? How's the extras and everything?
It's funny.
The work Brent cut, or is it?
No, the scene where Michael gets out of jail is the only thing that's actually from the work print. Everything else is the same. There's really not, there might be a little bit more boobies.
Okay.
But that's really it. The features are pretty good because it's like two discs and stuff. But the best thing on there is the blooper reel. And it's just basically Malcolm McDowell just being British and crazy.
So cool.
That nice. Alone is worth like the rental. So
nice. Mine was tied for two. Our good friend Nate got me the three disc edition of Hot Fuzz, which
excellent.
Is beautiful. And then my glorious wife got me the Disneyland Treasures Disneyland behind the scenes or whatever thing. But it actually comes with like a reprint of the little tickets, like the A through E tickets from Disneyland from opening day.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's funny. I opened it and showed my folks, and they both grew up in LA, and like my mom went opening year.
Oh my gosh.
And so she's cool. like you could tell she's going like way back in the time machine. I'm like, you know, I should like talk to Disneyland about her on the show.
Some serious nostalgia. That's
yeah,
cool.
That was it's obscenely cool. So yes. Very cool documentary stuff. So yeah, it was a good year. And I got the I probably shouldn't mention it because it'll piss off the Kingfish over at Geek Label, but I did get the 300, one of the 300 limited edition hardback cover editions of The Happiest Days of Our Lives signed by Will Wheaton, and it's an amazing book. It's a trip down memory lane.
And you get Will Wheaton's signature.
Yes, that's pretty cool. Now, granted, Geek Label has deemed him the Grinch of 07, but dang it was a good book. Sorry, dude.
I didn't get it. I just kind of, I guess, a Christmas present to myself. Shoot him up.
Okay, cool.
But that wasn't until New Year's. Yes, you do.
You do. As much as I hate that movie, you've never seen anything like Shoot 'Em Up. That movie's in a category all by itself.
I had a bunch of friends over, and we all had carrots with the stems on them.
Oh, my
gosh. Every time Clive Owen took a bite of a carrot, we all went, and so the whole room was like, it was so great. So, yeah.
Must have done that how many times?
We were done with the carrot with like halfway through the movie. So.
Sure, yeah. You saw a lot of
the whole time he's just sitting there eating, and he just pulls them out of his pocket. It's just...
Okay, then. Yeah. Wow.
It's like a healthy drinking game.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. It's a vegan drinking game.
That's right.
Okay. Just hurt on so many levels. Let's go ahead and talk about what came out this past week.
Well, last week, some crap and some gold. We had Ice Cube in First Sunday. And then Mr. Bull with his bowl of crap in the name of the king. A Dungeon Siege tale, because I guess Lily Sobieski and Burt Reynolds and Ray Liotta and Jason Statham needed the work that week, apparently. VeggieTales, the pirates who don't do anything. And also, I should mention, opening in limited, you had Guillermo del Toro Presents The Orphanage, and opening wider was The Bucket List. And I saw both of those, too.
Cool. Okay, so what'd you think of...
The Orphanage is great. It's a seriously scary movie in the vein of The Others and The Innocents. It's a seriously scary ghost story. Really, really freaking scary.
Like Tale of Two Sisters scary?
Not quite that scary, because there's no gore and there's no blood. It's not quite so abrasive and in your face. It's kind of a classical ghost story. My only problem with it is the ending. The movie has a big twist ending. It's a cruel, nasty little twist ending, but the movie ends on a note that feels like they were trying to make it happier. And it also has one of these movies. It's one of these movies where it doesn't know when to end, so it has like three or four different endings.
No.
So it does kind of it does kind of mute the overall effectiveness of it, but this is a seriously creepy movie. There is a scene where this lady plays this childhood game to conjure these ghosts, and it's one of the scariest things I think I've ever seen in a horror movie. And by the way, the lady who stars in it, I can't remember her name, not hard on the eyes. One of the best looking women in movies right now.
Very so cool.
Definitely right see The Orphanage. Bucket List, I liked a lot, but I can't say it's a great movie. I haven't thought about it a lot since I've seen it. I think the problem with it, not enough humor. It's not as funny as it could be, but it's still very good. It's very good. It doesn't deserve all the bad reviews it's gotten, but it's certainly not one of those Oscar movies. But it's got Jack and Morgan, and they've got serious chemistry, and they alone make the movie worth seeing.
Cool. So. And then you have In the Name of the King, which I've heard everything from It's Awful, Don't Waste Your Time, to It's Awful, It's a Good Time. So
I'll go with the first one.
I don't know. I'll probably have to see it.
I'm curious. I'm very curious, but I'm just amazed that an Uwe Boll movie got this kind of widespread release. I mean, even Best Buy had a deal where if you get the making of the In the Name of the King DVD, you get you get that free if you buy a different DVD. I mean,
and I think it came with a ticket too, didn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So go see the movie. Go.
So the promos for this have been really actually pretty aggressive. Unlike Alone in the Dark and House of the Dead, I felt like those movies weren't even properly. Yeah, and Blood Rain. But this one feels like it really got a wide release.
Wow. But I just wouldn't kind of give amazed. It to Blood Rain too. I'm just so. Never mind.
See, okay. I stopped after Alone in the Dark.
Did you see House of the Dead?
Yeah.
But it was funny. Said. Dude, that was one of the funniest movies. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about the DVDs, because there's much better news on the DVDs much, side much of things. Better.
This week's DVDs include Family Guy, The Blue Harvest, the original, and Return of the Jedi. Yes! That comes in the regular and special edition.
The special edition's got figures and all kinds of crap in it.
Nice, nice. Extras, the complete series, great show, Mr. Gervais. One of last year's dumbest movies, and certainly a movie no one I know has liked, Dane Cook and Jessica Alba and Good Luck Chuck. Criterion. Da-da. Criterion releases The Naked Prey this week. One of last year's best titles, Mr. Woodcock, with Sean William Scott and Mr. Billy Bob Thornton. Post-war Kurosawa box that includes the Eclipse collection with No Regrets for Our Youth, One Wonderful Sunday, Scandal, The Idiot, and I Live in Fear. Also, from the guys who came up with Wet Hot American Summer, the 10, including Mrs. Winona Ryder and a marionette. You don't want to know what happens there. The special collector's edition of When Harry Met Sally, my wife's favorite movie.
I had to put that in there just for you.
Thank you. I'm sure Julie will appreciate that. I think she's probably buying it as we speak. Yeah, yes. Good week.
Yeah.
Good week.
I have to own the extra set. I haven't seen the second series, but the first series opens up with Kate Winslet giving people tips for phone sex. It is one of the funniest. Oh, that show is absolutely brilliant. As painful as The Office was, this is just as funny, but not quite as painful.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, well worth checking out. The Patrick Stewart episode is fall down on your ass funny, because he keeps saying, "Well, if you want to do this, make it so," and people just give him a blank look. Huh? Star Trek: Next Generation. I have no idea what you're talking about. He's looking for. Yeah, it was great.
Barry, did you see Good Luck, Chuck?
I've been told not to so many times, and I feel like it's been described to me so many times in detail. I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, don't do it.
But it was at the Dollar Theater, and someone's like, "Dude, see it," but I never got around to seeing it. But
yeah, no.
No, my brother-in-law went and saw Dane Cook in concert, and he kind of did a whole recap of the concert for me. And for me, I feel like I've seen Good Luck, Chuck.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, shall we move on to some news here?
Yes.
I'll just start off with trailer news, since I always seem to bring that. The Diary of the Dead trailer has come out. Dun, dun. Has anyone else seen this?
Nope.
How is it, Dave?
Looks okay.
It got some pretty harsh reviews, didn't it?
It has. And here's the thing. I hated Land of the Dead. I hate to admit it.
You hate it? Really?
Maybe I didn't hate it, but it definitely wasn't one of the better of the films.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I liked all three of the other movies before that better than this. Yeah. Huh. Even Day of the Dead, because then you had Bub.
That's true.
And Bub the Zombie was awesome.
I actually saw it. Which was the first one?
Night of the Living Dead.
Finally saw that this past semester.
Amazing film. It was great. Yeah. And I don't know where it went from there. Diary of the Dead seems like it could be a good concept, but it just...
Is it a zombie writing a diary?
No.
Wow.
What's the premise of it?
It's like Blair Witch. Brains today.
Brains.
Wow, that kind of hurt. It's essentially a Blair Witch Project type thing, where guys they go off to make some kind of movie, and then it's when the zombie outbreak happens.
So he died, tries to document it. Yeah. Right? So it's like Cloverfield with zombies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Or, not.
Then it can have Cloverfield versus zombies.
Ooh. Cloverfield versus the Diary of the Dead. Yeah, whoa. Cool. Hey, they just started doing they're wrapping up the series Freddy versus Jason versus Ash in the comics, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of funny, I have to say. But yeah, who knows what's next.
Nice. Well, Terry Gilliam is officially making a movie right now. Some of you may have heard of this, but it's official now. His new film, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, is currently filming. It is a $30 million movie that he describes as a compendium of everything I've ever done. It stars Heath Ledger, Christopher Plummer, Tom Waits, and Lily Cole. It is, according to Variety, it is a characteristically convoluted tale of a traveling theater troupe led by a 1,000-year-old Parnassus, played by Plummer, whose magical mirror lets his audience escape into a universe of boundless imagination.
That sounds like something right up his alley.
Exactly. Gilliam apparently co-wrote this with Charles McGowan, who he co-wrote The Adventures of Baron Munchausen and Brazil with. It's cost $30 million. He has complete freedom to do it, and apparently there have been no problems with this one.
No disasters yet?
No sign of it shutting down or anything, and who knows if he's going to get it done this year or the next, but this is a full-on Gilliam project, and it sounds like it's a real return to form. Even I, as much as I honestly like defend Tide Land, even I'll admit that movie did not work, and this sounds like this is really going to be him working in his absolute elements. This is exciting stuff.
There's one reason why I want to see this succeed in a big way. First of all, I guess there are a couple. First and foremost, I want to see another Gilliam movie.
Yeah.
And I want to see a good Gilliam movie. And I hope this does gangbusters so he can do Good Omens.
Absolutely.
That's why.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing book, yes.
So The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. I don't know if they're going to keep that title or shorten it. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but...
Well, Imaginarium would be...
Yeah. But maybe that sounds too much like Magorium. Yeah,
Wonder Vomitorium, yeah. Well, here's the okay. Sorry to go back to Good Omens again. If he gets to be a big name again, Neil Gaiman's stuff has been getting remade left and right, and he co-wrote Good Omens. So I'm hoping. So
I would love him to do that and to go back and finish The Man Who Killed Don Quixote with Johnny Depp.
Awesome.
Wouldn't that be great?
Because they probably have to start from scratch.
Because I know, yeah, it's true. Depp wants to do it. He said he's wanted to do it. It's just a matter of allowing the production actually happens. But
exactly. Yeah. Yes. Some big home video news is coming up. Warner Brothers has officially decided to side with Blu-ray over HD DVD.
Wow.
So how much longer should I start buying DVD? Should I keep buying DVDs?
You know, I'm starting to slow down.
Switch.
Well, do you have a high-def TV? I guess that's the first question.
No. And I have a 360, and I don't want to go buy a Blu-ray player.
I'm holding off. First off, I don't have a high-def TV, and that's going to be a year or so before I can do it. But
it really sucks.
You know, it's really starting to look like Blu-ray is going to pull this out.
Yeah.
I mean,
the statistics I heard is 75%, now that Warner Brothers has done that, 75% of the movies are now Blu-ray.
Yeah, the only studio that's left is DreamWorks, isn't it? Paramount?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the only studio that's gone exclusively high def.
My DVD collection looks so good now too.
Well, here's the thing: a lot of them will do upconvert DVDs, and they don't look awful. Well, you were there when we did the thing a long time ago.
Yeah,
and the upconverted Fifth Element didn't look that bad.
Is it going to look the same as when I watch it on a regular DVD player? Just not
the same resolution. So it tries to fill in as much of the resolution as it can.
This is going to be blocks
this
of people.
This is like VHS versus Beta all over again. It sucks. It really
Except
does.
It's not as big of a jump from VHS to DVD as it is from DVD to high def DVD.
Yeah.
From whatever format it's going to be. But it's looking like Blu-ray is probably going to win. I know that Microsoft's probably going to kick even more money into HD DVD right now because their digital delivery isn't quite ready yet. Because that's what they're going for. They couldn't care less which format wins because they're looking for internet delivery. Mm. So, yeah. Okay, anyone else got anything? Because I got a few more.
Well, Liev Schreiber cast a Sabretooth in X-Men Origins. Why? Tyler Mane could do it. He did it fine the first time.
Yeah. Isn't he scrawny and little?
Tyler Mane?
No,
Liev Schreiber, yes.
Yeah. Comparatively speaking, yes.
Yeah, compared to Tyler Mane,
he's pretty
yes.
tall, but still, it's... This movie, I don't see it being good. I just can't.
No, it's... Bad
I don't see
idea.
It happening. Yeah. No. No. Ugh.
I like Liev Schreiber a lot, and I'm sure in terms of being an actor, you could totally pull it off. It just seems so unnecessary.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with the whole Tyler Mane thing. I mean, the guy has been out of work for years. He pops up like sporadically as Michael Myers. I mean, seriously, put him back as Sabretooth.
Yeah,
he was great in that.
Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth? All I can say is that. That's all I can. that's awful, awful news. I guess I can bring it back a little bit for what will hopefully be good news. They're talking about making a BioShock movie.
Hmm.
Have you played through the game?
Twice.
Okay.
Now.
Did you play the good and the bad?
Here's the deal. As I saved all the little children,
uh-huh.
except for in the part where you have to defend them.
Yeah.
A couple of them died.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that ruin the ending?
No.
Well, I got the less bad ending than when I played through and killed all the girls. That sounds, I'm not a it baby killer.
Terrible. Okay.
I'm not a baby
killer. Like the one where you like live forever and everything and you like, have a family. And...
Yeah. I didn't get that ending.
You didn't?
I saw it on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Only one of mine died and then another one came out and I still got it. Point anyway. Is, they're, the 2K Studios is talking about making this into a movie. They're in really good talks with some production company. I think this could be phenomenal. It could make
if
a great
they have
transition.
The right director doing it, though. If they put Brett Ratner doing Bioshock, I'm going to puke. I'm just going to vomit all over.
But, I mean, the movie is very cinematic in and of itself. And I think it could really pull off well, make a good transition, better than any other movie that they've... Even Halo, I don't think it would make as good a transition as this could.
No, because this is... You're playing a movie.
Well, I mean, you don't even need to worry about doing storyboards anymore because you have the entire game. You have the entire setting of what Rapture is. The entire concept of it is amazing.
I think, and they can keep the, like the game does. The best part about the game is it's got all this plot, but the action is constant because the plot is going over the action with dialogue and radio things. And they can keep that in the movie.
Exactly.
And it'd be great.
I hope they keep the twist in.
Yeah.
The way they did the twist was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's how they treat you in every video game. That's awesome. So, yes. All right. Have you got anything else? Oh, you got some stuff.
Yeah, Lionsgate bought the Conan Barbarian remake. So.
I don't know what to think about that.
Mm.
I mean, it's going to be violent.
Which, you know, which a Conan exactly. movie should be. A Conan movie should be pretty daggum bloody in this day and age.
But for me, Arnold was such an iconic Conan the Barbarian. I don't want to see anybody but him do it. But at this point, it would be like Grandpa Conan. It can't be done.
Maybe they should get Casper Van Dien to do it. Hmm. He's Tarzan, right?
He was Tarzan.
Whoa.
He'd have to put on like 100 pounds of muscle mass to do
it. Stallone's in better shape than Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
So
Stallone's hitting the gym, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I did a little bit of research and found out about the Tale of Two Sisters remake.
Ooh, we can find out.
Okay.
It's coming out this year.
Ah, shoot. What a terrible year.
They're already done. I think they're done filming it. And the only big actor that's in it, that's one of the sisters, is the girl from Grudge 2. Ariel Kebble is one of the sisters.
Okay. Couldn't be a whole lot worse than Kristen Kruick ended up being in Street Fighter.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, she's playing Chun-Li.
Yeah, I hear
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if the director... The director was a nobody, and it's going to be...
And I finally talked Barry into bringing his laptop, so now he's looking that up on IMDb furiously.
Keep talking. I'm going
to
look
that up. Yeah, because I still need to finish that movie. Because
I found one production photo of it, too.
And are they sticking with the same story, or...?
I think it's... I think there's a couple more people that were cast in it that's like, what? And... I don't know.
This kind of movie, it's not necessarily a bad thing that they're mostly unknowns. That's okay by me.
Yeah.
That's not the worst thing in the
world. Ariel Kebble is cute as hell, so.
There you go. And then you got Scout Taylor Compton, who's in, you know, April Fool's Day.
She's going to be in April Fool's Day? Okay.
Yeah, poor Barry. He's paying
all right, here we go. All right, yeah, seriously, between this and the April Fool's Day remake.
And Prom Night?
Well, Prom Night, screw Prom Night. That movie sucked to begin with. But, like, Tale of Two Sisters, scariest movie I ever saw. And April Fool's Day, my favorite slasher movie. Okay, Elizabeth Banks, who's a real cutie. Remember her? She's playing the stepmom. She's playing the stepmom character.
She's in Scrubs, right?
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
She's in Scrubs? JD's girlfriend?
Yeah, I think so.
And she was the girl in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Spider-Man, she's Betty Bryant.
Yeah, really cute. Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think she's probably the biggest name here. And the director, never heard of the Gard brothers, Charles Gard and Thomas Gard. Gosh, what's with these brothers? It's like the brothers Strauss directed AVPR. Yeah. Like, who the heck are these losers?
These aren't this isn't the Shaw brothers. This is, you know.
No kidding. This isn't even like the Wachowski brothers. This is like the gardener of the Wachowski brothers, the Gard brothers. No offense, guys. Maybe you made a great movie, but
it's not looking good.
Is there any other big names in it?
Let's see.
Probably not. Which necessarily again,
David Strathairn apparently.
David Strathairn's in it?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Sorry. Did you see Good Night and Good Luck?
No. Whistler and Sneakers.
Oh
gosh.
What else was he in?
Why can't I think of a David
Strathairn? Click on his name. It'll pull up everything he's been in.
The wonders of IMDb.
Have you guys seen the Prom Night preview that came out?
No.
A couple weeks ago.
Is it bad?
Yeah. You know, any poor girl, you know who's in it? Is Brittany Snow. What is she doing? She goes from Hairspray to Prom Night? What is she doing? Seriously. She should be doing a bigger...
She's like playing a Lohan without the rehab.
Yeah. Brittany... No.
Okay, it's so like, that's terrible. Yeah, I agree. Because like, it's one thing Scout Taylor Taylor Compton going from Halloween to April Fool's Day. That makes sense. That makes sense. But no.
Hairspray to Prom Night.
Okay. That's a real step down. Okay. David Strathairn, yeah, we should have thought of this, the Bourne Identity.
That's right. Did you see any of the Bourne films? You didn't. Okay.
Well, it's okay.
I'm not a fan of Shaky Cam.
Good night and good luck. You played Edward Morrow.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't see it.
You didn't see that.
That was the first thing I asked him.
Okay.
I have seen Sneakers, though, I know.
He was the blind guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
LA Confidential, he was in that.
Yeah.
He was the pervy guy who sets up the girls to be cut to look like Veronica Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yes.
Okay, we're good.
Interesting. Okay, so I have hope, but not much.
No, it's gonna suck. They're gonna ruin it. Who are we kidding?
Okay, all right, let's move on to the last bit of news and we'll hit a break here. All right. Have you got anything else or?
Sure. There's a rumor that Stallone is going to do a Death Wish remake.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Into which I say, Mr. Stallone, love you, man, but Jodie Foster and Kevin Bacon tried this last year, and it hurt their careers. Don't do it, man.
But he's outright making a Death Wish remake. Just outright.
I know, but...
You know what? I am going to defend Death Sentence when we start talking about
our
topic.
Okay. And the last bit of news, apparently a bunch of the cast has shown up in Australia to start filming Justice League, except there's no script and they're not filming yet.
Are you serious?
So they're just sitting around waiting for the strike
Like the chick playing Wonder Woman's like in training right now, but nothing's been
written. Adrian Brody's just down there like, what am I doing?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is like, hey, I'm hanging in Australia.
Wait. Ryan Reynolds?
Isn't he playing The Flash, I believe?
Isn't he?
Who's Adrian Brody playing Batman?
I don't know.
Or just get the cast of the OC to play the Justice League movie.
You may as well. Yeah,
essentially what happened.
Okay, let's
OC
go.
OC in the Hills, like making this comic book movie. What is happening?
This is not good, so let's go ahead and take a break because I'm going to start getting angry again, like with Spaced last week. So, the last time. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Ray. So, let's listen in as Ray hits on Sandra.
Excuse me, miss, but do you know karate? Because your body is kicking.
Now, let's listen to the same scene. Only this time, Ray is sporting a quality Geek Label t-shirt.
Yo, baby, I was wondering,
Damn.
Rejection.
What's up with that?
We can't really stop it.
Damn.
But we can outfit you in buttery smooth designs for geeks, gamers, and tech heads. They're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts.
Damn.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
The purveyors of a t-shirt that Josh wants.
Yes.
What does it say again?
Screw the cheerleader, save yourself.
It's a beautiful
t-shirt.
Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful thing.
You know, there's a bit of news that we forgot to go through because we just kind of got carried away. But, you know, we're going to be actually covering some stuff this year. We're officially in, as if you've read it on the site, we're officially going to be going to Starfest as press. So far they have announced Miss Nichelle Nichols is going to be there. She'll be there Saturday and Sunday of the show. It's like April 18th through the 20th. We're not sure if we're going to get an interview with her. That would be absolutely awesome if we could. But yeah, we'll be covering that and covering the floor and some of the other stuff. Josh, I think, might come out to cover a little bit. We've got Mike from Game Crazy Radio and possibly Jeff as well. Your friend Jeff is going to be.
Jeff Sager, yep.
So we should be having a bit more coverage this year. So it should be a good time. And speaking of Josh, would you like to make the announcement, sir?
Sure. I am officially joining Screen Geeks.
Yay!
So we'll be seeing some reviews and some articles and stuff. Since he's in Boulder, he won't be here every week because, you know, I expect him to have a life.
I have to get good grades.
Welcome to the family, Josh.
There you go.
You can't get away. All right. In a world. I mean, okay. Let's go ahead and discuss what our topic is. Essentially, we're stalling until we can finish seeing movies to do our actual top 10 list. I think I've got like 20 movies left to watch.
I've got three, but it's all about the last week of this month because this Friday, Southland Tales opens up, and then the weekend after that, it's Youth Without Youth, the Coppola movie. So as soon as I see that and There Will Be Blood, those three, then I'll feel good about my list.
Dead Silence is not on your list of films to see for 2007?
Loan it to me, and I'll watch it. I've been wanting to see it. Yeah. I really have.
If we go see Southland Tales, I'll bring it down.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll go see that together.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And so in that spirit, we're going to kind of do like the miscellaneous stuff. We're not doing the best of. Next week, we'll do the worst of, and then we'll do the best of.
Mm.
This week is kind of everything else.
Yes.
Best surprises, biggest disappointments. Some of them may show up on our best and worst of lists, and just other random stuff.
Okay.
So let's. What do you want to start off with?
I'm going to start off with the best movie no one saw, which would be Fido by
Andrew
Curry. Like
I said, some movies might be showing up on some people's best of lists. I mean, yeah.
Yes, yes. And yeah.
I actually just watched that this morning, too, before I went to church.
nice.
So.
And what did you go see for Christmas?
Christmas Day, went and saw AVPR. Not my decision. I was like, dear God, can we go see something else? I will sit through P.S. I Love You, please. Just something.
That's a movie that just might end up in my 10 worst, 10 top 5 worst of the year list. I hated that movie.
Yes. So, okay. So, wow. Yikes.
All right.
Yeah, but yeah, Fido, I had the wife watch it. That was a lot. You know, I still think it's a sweetheart, but she's like, that was just a messed up movie. But I still love it.
It's sweet. It's like Edward Scissorhands. It's sweet.
Yes.
That kind of it's sweet for guys like us that like that kind of thing.
That's true.
It is. Yeah, that's our idea of like a chick flick.
Aw. Yeah.
he's just a zombie.
It's a Lassie movie with zombies. Yeah. A boy and a zombie.
Okay. Worst movie everybody saw. Do you guys have a pick for that? A worst movie that like was really popular a while? I mean, like I can go with Chuck and Larry, but because I really, really just hate Transformers, I'm going to go with Transformers.
Worst movie that everybody saw?
Yeah.
That everyone else liked or everyone
sure,
saw?
Sure, that was a hit.
Disturbia.
Disturbia?
Yeah, okay. Same here. Yeah.
It's kind of a toss-up between Disturbia and Ghost Rider right now. Because Ghost Rider made a lot of money, but Disturbia made a lot more.
Yeah, but I'd rather sit... Oh, no, that's not true.
You know,
I'd rather see Disturbia again.
Yeah.
I don't know. You do have the Sam Elliott as the cowboy Ghost Rider.
Yeah, but if I watch Nicolas Cage point at me one more time, I'm going to be really upset.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
guilty.
Disturbia.
Yeah.
Disturbia was like a bad R.L. Stine book.
Yes. That's an excellent comparison, actually.
I would have rather watched like The Haunted Mask or whatever, R.L. Stine. Like,
I'd rather watch Mr. Boogity again than watch... Never mind.
Ooh, the Return of Mr. Boogity.
Yes. Sorry, I had to go a little Wonderful
or
World.
Or Ghost Dad.
No, I can't do Ghost Dad. I can do Boogity, but no, I can't do Ghost Dad. No.
Yeah, we don't need to go to the bad Bill Cosby movies because then I have to bust out Leonard Part 6. Oh, no one wins then. No one wins.
Were there five before?
No, thank God.
That was part of the joke.
No, I know.
I remember being a really young kid with no sense of humor and loving that movie. Yeah, okay.
I thought it was great the first time I saw it. Yeah, 20 years later, not so funny.
Yeah.
Great performances in a bad movie. I got to go with Malin Ackerman in Heartbreak Kid. Funniest performance in the movie. She just got cast, of course, as Silk Spectre in the new Watchmen movie. She is gorgeous. She is talented. She was great in Heartbreak Kid. Definitely keep an eye out for Malin Ackerman. She's got a real future ahead of her. Too bad her first big role was in The Heartbreak Kid. And also with Sam Elliott in Ghost Rider and Golden Compass. He brought both of those movies temporarily to life whenever he was on screen. It's too bad both of those movies sucked so much.
Exactly, yes. I'd have to go to you on Sam Elliott for sure, yeah. Because I try to avoid most of the crap. I'm looking at... Well, you know, you have Bruce Campbell's cameo in Spider-Man 3. It was the best cameo that he had.
He was great in that.
Yeah. He was like the one shining bright spot.
And everybody in the audience was so pleased and happy and entertained during that part of the movie. You know,
exactly.
You know what, though? I did like Topher Grace as Eddie. I thought that was the only other good part of that movie. We'll get to Spider-Man.
I'm sure we're going to be talking about Spider-Man plenty over the next couple weeks.
We'll get to Spider-Man.
It won't be making any of our top lists. Wait, never mind.
Well, as for seriously underrated movies of last year, I got to go give some love to Freedom Riders. Terrible title, but I thought a great movie with Hilary Swank. A movie nobody loved but me, Bug, the Wayne Friedkin film.
I still need to watch it again. I kind of have to...
See it again. Yes, see it again. Okay. And you know what? I loved all the Iraqi movies. I thought Valley of Allah, Rendition, and Lions for Lambs was great, as well as The Kingdom. I thought they were all great movies.
And you saw Grace is Gone, too, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, Grace is Gone was excellent. That's yeah, what, yeah. All these movies got screwed and great movies. And another movie, seriously underrated, I didn't love to death, but I'll acknowledge that this is a solid movie, really deserved an audience, didn't find it. That was Rain Over Me, a seriously underrated film.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm.
Underrated, I have to go with Mr. Brooks, which you actually recommended
to me. That was great.
It was freaking awesome. I thought that was so cool. Dead Silence, once again, no one freaking saw it. And that's my favorite horror movie of the year.
Really?
Down. Okay. Yeah. It's just a good old-fashioned universal monster movie. It's just great. The Mist and TMNT.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, The Mist got screwed. I love The Mist. And
I need to see it still, if I can.
I don't know what did it. Like, if it was the fact that it was opening up against Enchanted or if the ending was just too much for a lot of people. Because it seems like most people I know hate that ending because it's just, it is the darkest of dark twist endings. But I love that about the film.
Yeah, that's why I like it. I was like, oh, snap. That really just happened?
There you go.
And TMNT was so good.
It was so much better than it had any business being. That's actually one of my pleasant surprises, which we'll get to.
Great film. Let's see. Way overrated movies. I got to go for starters. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. This is, if anybody else had directed it, if it had not been an 83-year-old legendary director, Sidney LeMay, if it was like Joe Schmo, I don't think anybody would be paying any attention. But because it was directed by an 83-year-old man, and he's doing this gritty, nasty little crime thriller, even more violent, even more, far more erotic than anything else out there, I think people were like, well, let's give this movie all this love. But I don't think it's that a good movie. I really just, okay. I thought it was seriously overrated, so as well as No Country for Old Men, all the critically acclaimed movies. Disturbia, why did that movie make so much money?
Oh, yeah.
300, I'm sorry. I know it's cool looking, but I felt nothing while I watched that movie. It was like watching somebody else play a video game, and he didn't let me play with him. Michael Clayton, the George Clooney movie, great performances, but it's not a movie that stayed with me, and I don't know why. Everybody has said it's like one of the best films of the year. I didn't think it was that great. And finally, a movie I liked but seriously overrated, Juno. I liked Juno a lot. I thought it was charming and funny, but one of the best films of the year.
Chris Stipp over at Quick Stop Entertainment went on a rant about how bad he thought Juno was.
Really?
Yeah. See, I haven't seen it because I think I'm going to probably agree with Barry and be like, well,
it's going to turn into in many more ways than one. It really is going to become this year's Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes, and that's a very apt comparison because I thought Little Miss Sunshine was funny and very good, but best picture of the year? No.
And I had to go 300. I enjoyed 300. Do not get me wrong. I just didn't think it was that good. I know a lot of geeks love that movie. It actually is on one of my pleasant surprises as well. So
it was enjoyable. I own it.
Yeah.
but it's not going to be like, I don't know. It was good.
You didn't have to go get the 2-disc set with the helmet and the...
No. Okay. Oh, God, no. Oh, no. back to... Wait, underrated. I'm sorry. Okay. I forgot. Death Sentence. Yeah. Because I just watched it. It was actually really good. Kevin Bacon, I thought, like, this is one of the best performances he's ever done. James Wan, who's only done horror, did a really good job of creating this, like, really intense... Really, really intense film. And it's just... It was so much better than Jodie's. I even forgot what her movie was called.
The Brave One.
Yeah, that was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
But it's better than that.
Yeah, it was so much better than that. And it's really violent, but it just feels like it has a lot more in it than...
Just more substance.
You can connect with it more than just Jodie Foster running around. So
shooting people.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I want my dog back. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is actually like the stuff that goes through. John Goodman... is in it, which I didn't even know, and he does a really good the role that they put him in is actually really, he does a really good job at it. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it.
Okay, Stephen King actually said John Goodman's performance is one of his favorites of the year.
He was really good. So yeah, and did you guys see Sunshine yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
You did see it? Yeah, tell me what you thought of it.
I loved it until it turned into Event Horizon.
Yeah. Oh, where did that come from?
That's my question. Up until the point where what happens, and if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what we're talking about, so I don't need to spoil anything else. I thought it was one of the best sci-fi movies I've seen in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Easily. It was amazing. It's beautiful. I loved it.
It's absolutely beautiful.
And then out of nowhere, it turns into... What the... No!
And it didn't even explain how or why what happened.
Exactly. You know, I've been really restrained lately, you know, up for the past like 6 months since I've seen it, saying, you know, I was very, you know, very uneven about the end. I don't know how I feel about it. I felt mixed. No, I hated the ending.
Yeah, I did too.
I couldn't have been more disappointed. I loved it up until then.
It was so good.
That's like, actually something that needs to go in my bitch disappointments. Thanks.
There you go.
Because, no, it really was a great, great sci-fi movie, and it was just... So beautiful to look at.
The performances were great. Cillian Murphy was great in it. Michelle Yeoh was great in it. Chris Evans was great in it.
Yeah, Human Torch was good.
Yeah. Like, it was a solid movie all the way through until it's like they hit a point. They're like, I don't know how to end this movie.
Let's just make it.
Do what we did. Yeah. It's well worth watching because the visuals, that first like hour and a half, hour, whatever, yeah. the first two-thirds to three-fourths of the movie are amazing and well worth watching.
It's so cool because they make the ship look like the ship is supposed to be the size of like Manhattan, and they've set up how big the ship is, and then as it gets closer to the sun, it's just this tiny little thing, and the sun's like this huge, you know.
The perspective, yeah, it's well worth checking out. Just don't be too surprised if you didn't like the ending. I know that's probably going to piss Ethan off because I know he dug the crap out of that movie, but I loved it up until the end. I just couldn't roll with the ending.
You gotta watch it on a big screen, though.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt.
It's a shame that I missed it when I was in theaters. Yeah. That and Death Sentence. I swear those movies just didn't get the promotional push they needed, those yeah. two. I didn't even know when they were in theaters.
Yeah, the same year. I was like, oh, that's out. I think I'll go. Nope, it's already gone.
Yep. Right. So. Should we move on?
Sure. Movie I hated that may win Best Picture. This is like for me the most overrated of all time award. I hated Atonement. I thought it was the most tedious bullcrap movie. I didn't think it was even remotely romantic. I think these critics like have serious crushes on James McAvoy and Keira Knightley. Yes, he's got dreamy blue eyes. Yes, she's got beautiful succulent lips, but they don't give great performances. They are stiff. I didn't buy them as a couple. The story is so tedious. It's like Groundhog Day. It repeats the same scenes over and over again from different points of view. The music is like this repetitive piano typewriter gag that's so annoying. And the movie is celebrated for having this very famous tracking long shot. Like everybody's talking about this scene. But the scene just calls attention to itself. It doesn't invite you emotionally into it. It's not like the great scenes in like Goodfellas or Sheltering Sky or like even The Player, or like you're like becoming entwined in this world. It's like it's a one-shot scene and it feels like a big stunt. And it just makes a long scene even longer. I thought the ending was a load of crap. Everybody's like, oh, it's got a great twist ending. You could see it coming a mile away. I thought Atonement just sucked. I don't get why people love this movie so much. And it's been compared to Titanic. That is such an insult to Titanic. It's Titanic, as much as I don't like Titanic, Titanic kicks so much arse compared to Atonement, which I thought is just arse. So
there you go. Wow. Okay. I can't think of any movies that are going to win Best Picture because my top 10 list is all like abstract stuff. Fido's not going to be up for it, sorry.
Unfortunately. In an alternate universe, it would be sweeping it.
Yeah, like Grindhouse is going to win Best Feature.
Yeah, exactly. Best film. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Rose McGowan, Best Actress.
You know what, though? I'm going to actually bring this up. This is a good segue. You know what's actually, I think I heard, was submitted to be nominated for Best Animated Film is Aqua Teen.
Really?
So that could be on the list, and that's I awesome. Hope to God it is, because that would be so funny. It does not even deserve to be, like, even acknowledged, but that's so funny if it gets on the list.
They're trying.
Yeah.
I love when they do that, because I've seen, like, old issues of Variety. Like, one year, like, Warner Brothers actually put out an ad for Matthew Lillard, Best Supporting Actor for Scooby-Doo.
Oh, really?
Can you imagine that?
Really?
And like this one guy, we're going to be like, oh, okay, I'll give him my vote. Like he accidentally just kind of slips through. Wouldn't that be crazy? Like Jeremy Wait. Irons, Matthew Lillard, Best Supporting Actor.
Wait, it's a hanging chat. No, I didn't mean to do it. Never mind. Wow. Okay.
Best action movie. My pick is Live Free or Die Hard. That's my pick for best action
absolutely.
Movie. But would you go with Bourne, though? Or?
No, I'd probably go with, as far as just straight action movie, Live Free or Die Hard is such a cartoon of a movie. It's so good. I mean, what am I going to pick? What else am I going to pick? Hitman? Come on. Not going to happen. No. I haven't even seen it, and I don't need to. Yeah.
But you serious to go for Shoot 'Em Up over Die Hard 4?
I think they're about. They're so different from one another.
You need to see the unrated cut of Die Hard before you make your decision, I think.
Die Hard is so different kinds of action, where Shoot 'Em Up is just shoot 'em up. So, but they're.
You walk in and you know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah, they're, no but kidding. They're equally as like adrenaline fueled, I think. So.
Very cool.
But yeah, Die Hard was awesome.
Yes.
Best comedy of the year. You know, it seems like everybody's been arguing all year what was better, Knocked Up or Superbad, and I am strictly in the Superbad camp.
Yeah.
And that's my pick for best comedy of the year.
Well, when I first saw Knocked Up, I loved it so much, and I was like, that's going to be my number two of the year. Like, oh. And even like the first time I saw Superbad with you, I was still like, no, Knocked Up is better. But now that I've watched Superbad enough, Superbad is
yeah. Likewise, when I saw Knocked Up the second time, I really liked it a lot, but I think it's too long.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I think it's a little too long, and I don't think it's quite as heartfelt and satisfying as Superbad is.
Yeah,
I probably have to roll that way between the both of them. I didn't really see, but I wasn't a big fan of either one. Mm. Really, I mean, I laughed really hard at Superbad. I'm not even gonna lie, but it's not something I'm gonna go by.
So you say Hot Fuzz funniest of the year?
You know, I don't think I even laughed as hard as I did at Superbad. I have to admit it. I mean, as overall as a movie, yeah, I loved Hot Fuzz more. But if you're going strictly by comedy, Superbad was like we're blood brothers. I mean, come on. It doesn't get funnier than that. I'm sorry.
You know what comedy no one saw except for me, and I probably am the only one that liked it that did see it, was Hot Rod.
Oh, yeah.
I did like Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Dumb movie, but funny.
Oh, we'll get to dumb movies here in a bit. I saw a doozy here recently.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've only got two lists. That's why I'm not chiming in too much. I've got most disappointing and like pleasant surprises. That's about it. So.
Yeah, I'm just making some of this crap up. Like I got one. I wrote down a great but too much shaky shake. I wrote down Bourne Ultimatum. Nice. I love
it. Like the final scene is just like supposed to be this big fight, but like It's from what's her name's point of view, and shit's like,
oh no, the fight between the with the, you know, it's interesting because it's like they set it up like that and then they just went away from it.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm thinking, is Julia Stiles having an epileptic seizure? Because that would make sense, but because she's standing completely still, why is it like the choreography on this fight scene is so fantastic? And I really felt like I didn't get to see it enough. As exciting as the scene still is, I still feel it hurt the film a little bit.
Gotcha. Here's a question I got. Since you've seen most of them this year, what was your favorite musical of the year?
Favorite musical? Oh, gosh.
I've only seen one, and I don't think I need to see any of the others. That's how much I liked it.
Gosh. You know, I freaking love Once.
That's,
I want to go with Once because I loved Hairspray, but you know, there's been so many movies like Hairspray. Once, there's never been anything quite like it.
Yeah,
and I gotta stand behind Once because it was so wonderful and so simple and yet so pure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't use the word pure to describe movies often, but I would say that's a pure film.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, I was just curious because I loved Once, but if there's something that's better out there, I need to go watch it.
You not like Sweeney Todd, Barry?
Loved Sweeney Todd.
Okay, good.
Freaking love Sweeney Todd, and I mean, it's you know, I think just because Once is a movie that isn't going to be seen by a lot of people, whereas Sweeney Todd definitely finds his audience. But yeah, I love Sweeney. That's going to be probably my top 10 list.
Okay,
love
good.
Sweeney Todd. My best trend of the year is these old school logos. I love like for Superbad, Zodiac, and Dead Silence. Yeah. I freaking love that movies are doing that. That's
Grindhouse made up their own.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
The Dead Silence one's cool because it's the Universal one. It's got the plane.
Oh, it's the old silver like you see. Oh, nice.
Oh, that's so good. It's cool.
For a category, I put Not That Bad. This is a movie that I guess we could say, like, you know, that got terrible reviews or terrible word of mouth. I didn't think it was that bad. My pick, you know, the only one who would ever say this, Nancy Drew. I didn't think it was quite as bad as everybody said it was. So I would kind of defend Nancy Drew, but only to a point.
I would probably have to say Elizabeth, Golden Age. I didn't think it was as bad as everyone thought it was.
Okay.
That would probably be my pick. Now, part of that probably is because I love Cate Blanchett in it.
Yeah.
She's amazing in it. So that was my pick.
Okay.
Have you got one, sir?
No.
Okay. As long as you didn't say Disturbia.
I see. I kind of just avoid even, like, just kind of stayed away from the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Still didn't see Fantastic Four. Didn't see Evan Almighty.
That's some of the higher end, though, bad movies of the year.
Fantastic Four, it was
it's
better than the
bad.
First one.
It's better than the first one. You know, it's stupid, and it's not like a great grand comic book movie, but it's not terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worse than Humanly Possible, I got to put Norbit. Norbit was so insanely bad. Norbit to me is the AVP of comedies. It's just
I don't know.
Oh, epic movie. Worst movie I think I possibly have ever seen.
Wow.
Oh, it.
Worse than Date Movie.
Oh yes.
Really?
I would watch Date Movie 3 times again before I watched Epic Movie.
Oh my gosh, because Date Movie was wretched.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, just when you didn't think it couldn't be any worse. Yeah, because so now you know what to look for from Meet the Spartans.
I don't know. You guys didn't see I Know Who Killed Me.
No, okay. I haven't seen it yet.
It's absolutely terrible.
I'm kind of surprised you saw it.
Me too. You know, I think a couple episodes ago when my mom was here, she recommended it to me, and I was like, oh, okay. No, not good. God, it was bad. Oh, it was bad.
Man. What did your mom think of AVP?
Oh, they liked it.
Really?
Yeah, they have a totally different outlook on things that I like, so...
Is it like the entertainment factor? At least if it's entertaining, it's okay?
Yeah, I think that's it. Okay. I think that's it.
Which is the way most people go to movies, and there's definitely something to be said for that.
Sure.
We just like movies too much.
Maybe.
Like, my dad was actually offended that Transformers was not on my top 10. It's like,
You know, I own it, and it's not going on my top 10.
Yeah, same here.
No. So, yeah. Okay.
Best trailer of the year? You know... I saw it so many times, I think I just kind of became brainwashed by it. But I thought the trailer for Juno was exceptionally good.
I got to go for The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Obviously, going to have a movie that came out this year specifically.
Oh, just Dark, came this year, yeah.
Just strictly of 2007. But yeah, Dark Knight, awesome trailer.
That's like the trailer of the year for me, yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Because, I mean, as far as next year goes, to me, everything I've seen for Get Smart.
Yeah, Get Smart. Yeah. For movies that came out this year, I have to say, as much as I hated Ocean's 12, the trailers for Ocean 13 gave me so much hope and actually got me excited. And I hated 12. I never wanted to watch another Ocean's movie ever again. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, I think I need to see this, which definitely has to have something that says something about it to pull that big of a turnaround.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great trailer.
And it's a basic
The 300
trailer
is really good too, though.
Yes.
It was very cool trailer.
Yes, absolutely.
I say if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the movie.
Also, what trailer?
Except for the Oracle, it looks like a... Never mind. Yeah, that was just kind of disturbing.
The Aqua Teen trailer was pretty funny.
Yes, that was a cool trailer.
Cool. Okay. Shall we move into the big ones?
Yeah, I guess I got Worst Use of Jim, License to Wed. Why? Poor Krasinski. Worth the Wait, Inland Empire, David Lynch's film, which very slowly, very gradually came out in different theaters. I thought it was definitely worth the wait. Great, great film. Not Worth the Wait. Wrist Cutters, A Love Story, a movie that premiered at Sundance like 2-3 years ago with Shannon Sossaman and Peter Fugit. Not a good movie at all. I don't know why Fox decided to eventually release that piece of crap.
Oh, speaking of Shannon Sossaman, did you see One Missed Call yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Did you see it?
Yeah. No, no.
I do. I'm very curious, though. I will see
that. Oh, you're actually going to venture out and see it?
I will take that for the team and see it because I'm very curious.
Because I heard terrible things.
I've heard dreadful things.
Yeah. Actually, Capone over at Ain't It Cool said his absolute worst movie of the year was Across the Universe, and his early frontrunner for this year was One Missed Call.
Which is easy because it's the first movie of the year.
So. Yeah.
The first movie of 2007 that came out 4 days into the year.
Yeah. Okay, shall we move into, what do you want to do? Do you want to do like pleasant surprises or disappointments first?
Let's start with better than expected.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of pleasant surprises. We can
same difference. Enchanted, I would say, so much better than I thought.
It didn't deserve to be that good.
I was very surprised how good that movie. And I think that has a lot to do with Amy Adams. I thought, you know, she created a real character. She wasn't just like doing a cutesy fairy tale thing. She actually created a real flesh and blood human being.
Music and lyrics. Mm. You know, it grabs you from that first stupid pop video.
That's such a funny scene.
Oh, it's absolutely awesome. Like Billy Flynn will say, that's the only part you need to see the entire movie. I can understand why you'd say that, but it sets up for a very fun movie.
Oh, I'd say best opening of the year. I love that scene.
Yeah, absolutely great. Yeah. We already talked about 300.
TMNT.
That's what I was going to say. We need to talk TMNT.
Expected, yeah.
With the crappy Fox cartoon, which is slowly getting better. I've checked it out like yesterday morning just for the heck of it. Nothing else better to do. But this was so good because it actually ran off the storyline from the old school cartoon and the movies.
And that was great. It really was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4. They actually picked it up from the third one. What happened to one of them when he went away. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I was so surprised at how much I liked that.
The action was great. The humor was there. It's just, yeah.
The narration at the beginning just like hooked me. It's just like, who did the narration at the beginning?
Was it Lawrence Fishburne?
I think so. Yes. It was just like...
Yeah. Yes, turtles. I think I was shocked through the entire movie. I'm like, this movie shouldn't be this good.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't. It has no business being this
good.
It
had good action, and it was awesome.
Another one for me would be Père Chatime.
Mm.
Usually anthology movies lately haven't been that good.
Yeah.
And this was a very nice, pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Some of them were mixed bags, but the good ones have still stayed with me. Very haunting film.
Absolutely, yes.
You guys aren't going to agree with me, but the two horror sequels that actually were better than what they should have been would have been Hostel 2 and Saw 4 for me. So
better than what they should have been, huh?
Just because your expectations were so low?
Yeah, or? I mean, the fact that they're even making sequels anymore off of, like, you know, obviously they're just doing it for money, but it was actually, Hostel 2 was very good, way better than the first one, and Saw 4 actually continued the franchise. So. Hmm.
Okay. Those are two I might just have to take your word on.
Those are my movies. I don't make people watch them. Just saying.
Well, I'll go with the horror thing. I mean, better than expected. I really liked Rob Zombie's Halloween. I think it's uneven, and I don't think it's a perfect film by any means, but I liked it. I really liked it, and I liked it more than I've seen it, too. Movies you guys didn't see, kiddy movies, I thought Bridge of Terabithia and Meet the Robinsons were so much better than I thought they would be.
I need to see Bridge of Terabithia.
Yeah, I liked them both. And the Tyler Perry movie, my expectations for that guy couldn't be more rock bottom at this point, because I really hated Die of a Mad Black Woman, but I thought Why Did I Get Married is his best film yet.
Okay.
Even though it stars Janet Jackson, I thought it was a very good film.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'll go through the rest of my list. Air Guitar Nation.
Okay.
That's just, you know, it's such a goofy, fun movie.
Thank you for mentioning Air Guitar Nation. You're like, I love
there's
that
no
movie.
Way this movie's actually going to hold up through an hour and a half or 2 hours of air guitar. And it does it so well. It's awesome. It has as much to do with the people in it as it is with just the entire phenomenon and how hooked you get with it. Ocean's 13, I already mentioned. Live Free or Die Hard. It's a PG-13 movie. Should have completely sucked, but it was so good. Mm-hmm. And not even taking into account the director's cut. Because you really can't, I guess, really, when you're talking about theatrical releases. The Simpsons movie, I was really concerned.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the jokes are good in the trailer, but is that going to be all there is?
Right.
Because this could be pretty bad. And then finally, 1408. I know Josh hates that movie. He's scowling.
I love that movie.
It's not going to be it for anyone's best picture, but I do think it has one of the best performances of the year in John Cusack.
I agree.
But he acts the same in every single one of his movies.
Really? I can't go with that. Not for 1408. I think...
Okay, I don't think...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I think his performances in Grace Is Gone, Fortune Await, I love those because I think they are so different from everything else he's done.
Yeah, if you're talking about, like, what was it? Like Love of Money.
Must Love Dogs. Or
Must Love Dogs, Serendipity, okay, not, Gross Point Blank, Better Off Dead, High Fidelity.
The words came out wrong. I think he's the kind of actor that just takes the role and doesn't, instead of turning it into a character, he's like, how would I...
Sure.
What would I do?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, he's kind of just. It's always been. Oh, it's John Cusack instead of. Oh, it's whatever his name was in the movie. You know,
okay. And Lloyd Dobler. You're afraid, like in Fortune Away, he was going to put the big boom box on his shoulder for the ghost and play Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, I think you can pick three movies. I, if you say Grace Is Gone, I'll roll with that. In 1408 and Identity, he played very distinctly differently than he has in other films. But I can understand. Otherwise, I can definitely roll with you on that.
Yeah, the Grifters, another great performance.
Yes, absolutely.
Disappointments. Let's go with disappointments. I've got a big list. But
I'll start with the one that's just going to get me the most hate mail from both of you, and that was Halloween. Mm. That movie just...
Okay, well, you're not alone. A lot of people were not happy with that film. Well, let's be specific. Why was it disappointing
for you? It's the same exact reason why Hannibal Rising's on here. You explain why the bad guy's bad, and you castrate him. He's no longer scary in any way, shape, or form.
Really? You didn't think Michael Myers was scary?
I mean, he turns into your regular run-of-the-mill slasher again.
You think he was creepy as a kid?
I
thought he was a creepy-ass kid. Especially
here's the thing. You show him as a creepy-ass kid, but you show his family life, and oh, you're supposed to feel sorry for poor little Mikey. That's not the freaking point of the Halloween movies.
I didn't feel sorry for him, because although that was a terrible home life, what the hell's he doing slitting his... Slitting throats of people in the house.
Yeah. Still. I didn't think that was an excuse.
And then when I just didn't like it at all whatsoever.
Okay.
It's going to probably stay off of my worst of the year list, but it was definitely a severe disappointment.
And that was excruciating for you to see. I remember the night after you saw it, you were like, oh, I really took one for the team.
Yeah. And I know you guys loved it, and I'm like, I just missed something. That
I
has
don't
to
know if
be
I loved it, but I think I appreciate it.
Well, you liked it. I liked it. Relatively speaking.
Yes.
And it's still, it's not, Devil's Rejects is Rob's best film, not Halloween.
And I got to see that. Everybody tells me how good Devil's Rejects is. I'm at the point where I'm like, I guess I just need to see this thing. Everybody knows.
Do you feel like you've seen it? Or
No. In fact, the scenes people have described to me sound so horrible. It's like, do I have to see it? It's like, yes, it's so good.
Ebert gave it fucking
A. Most people are like, we can't defend it on a moral ground, but in terms of cinema, apparently, it's like, people have said, it's the movie they wish Grindhouse was. That it was like it went further than even the Grindhouse movies did, and anyway.
I remember I called my mom as soon as it was done when I walked out of the theater, and she goes, "How was it?" I said, "I feel really bad for saying this, but it was awesome."
Very cool. Okay, I'll take a break. What have you got on your list for biggest disappointments?
Disappointments, Josh? Obviously Spider-Man.
Yes, yes, definitely on my list.
Let's see, disappointments. See, I once again didn't really.
Now, okay, what did you hate about Spider-Man besides emo Petey?
Probably the dance scene.
So, okay, the whole emo Petey
thing.
That whole
sequence.
See, and I listened to the comment because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I had to go buy it even though I really...
Wow.
I did. I stooped. I bought it. I didn't buy the two discs, though. And I listened to the commentary on it, and everyone... I guess it was supposed to be funny.
Oh, it was, but it hurt.
But no, I take that character so seriously.
Yeah.
And I take that storyline in the comics and stuff so seriously that watching it was just like, I just wanted to cry. Really wanted to cry.
No, I agree with you. To me, it made the same mistake that Superman 3 did. Superman 3 all of a sudden played Superman as a total joke. It made fun of the whole... everything. And it's like, it's a fantasy. It's Clark Kent and Superman. But at the same time, it completely made a laughing stock of it. And I think Peter Parker, you can play that character for humor, but not at the point where it almost feels like somebody else is taking control of the movie.
It doesn't feel like something on Meet the Parents.
It felt wrong.
And Sam Raimi's never made a secret of the fact that he does not like Venom. And the fact that Venom was in this movie... First of all, it shows that he doesn't like Venom because of the way the character was treated. But secondly, because when that shows that it wasn't the movie he wanted to make.
And you know that this movie was studio.
That's what I'm saying. So how good was it really going to be in hindsight?
Which is dumb. Why did they do that? Why was it? I mean, obviously the first two made so much money. Why did they restrict Sam so much?
I don't know.
I know one critic said that whole sequence in question that we're talking about, he said he didn't realize he walked into a sequel to The Mask.
Yeah, so, fair enough. Yeah. Shall we go? Since we're talking comic books, should we go to Ghost Rider?
For me, that's in the worst of you. That's not even a disappointment. Okay. That's just like a disappointment in life.
I was hopeful because Ghost Rider could have been a really cool movie.
But the scene where he turns into Ghost Rider the first time, is pretty damn cool. And no? Okay.
Well, I think the scene where he and Sam Elliott are on fire roaring through the desert was a cool scene.
Until they killed the iguana. I loved that scene. Mm. I adored that scene. Even the crappy spider bait cover of Ghost Riders in the Sky, it was still a really good scene, but then they showed that. And then he's like, okay, that was the last time I can use my power. Bye. The hell? What? Yeah.
I was waiting it for you.
Yeah, it's like, wish I knew how to quit you. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of, go ahead, sir.
All right, well, disappointments. For me, one of the biggest ones, because I was so looking forward to this, was The Invasion. Great middle of the movie, but the beginning and the ending are terrible, and they kill the film. Hannibal Rising, because I read the book, for Pete's sake. I read the book, and even though the book was a mixed bag, it's still so superior to the movie. The remake of Sleuth with Michael Caine and Jude Law, real letdown. The Astronaut Farmer, as lame as unfortunately as it looked. The Messengers, some real scary scenes in The Messengers. In fact, I actually said The Orphanage is the movie The Messengers try to be. But yeah, The Messengers fell apart completely at the end.
There's like two really good scenes in that movie.
That really creepy scene with the kid.
And then all of a sudden it turned into Amityville Horror.
So bad, so bad. In the Land of Women with Meg Ryan, some good scenes, but not a good movie. Darjeeling Limited, as much as I love Wes Anderson, I think it's his most pretentious and cold and heartless film yet. Across the Universe, amazing scenes, bad
doesn't make
movie.
A lick of sense. That's that's like at the top of my depression. That was the movie that made me want to do a most disappointing category.
When people say like they love the film, I understand. When people tell me they hated it, I understand. Because like I think there's great, amazing scenes in it. But then there's also terrible, awful, like cringeworthy scenes in the movie too.
Yeah, like what were you talking about? The
part where he starts singing Revolution at the end. Oh my gosh. Such a stupid scene. It's so ill-advised.
It's like, did you even, are you listening to the lyrics? Of
what the song means, exactly. But, awful. Sandra Bullock's film Premonition, good scenes.
Okay, wait.
Terrible movie.
You were surprised that a Sandra Bullock movie was bad.
I like Sandra Bullock.
I know. Did you see The Net?
Oh, I love The Net.
There's Crash was good.
I can go speed in The Net, and I liked Crash.
Demolition Man?
Okay.
She was in Demolition Man?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. She was the one who kept trying to use the euphemisms from the 20th century and kept screwing them up.
Right.
That period of her career, great. Miss Congeniality on? No.
Agreed. Completely agreed. Yes. Dan in Real Life, good performances. I don't think it's a good movie at all. No Reservations, total letdown considering the talent involved. Another movie, great talent, bad movie. The Nanny Diaries, so disappointed. Joshua, the art house horror movie with Sam Rockwell, that was a real letdown. It's kind of like an art house omen, even though not quite that good. Becoming Jane, I love Anne Hathaway. Not so much after that movie. Smoking Aces.
Aces. No, it wasn't bad for what it was.
Some cool scenes, but not a good
movie. Jeremy Piven was pretty good.
Jason Bateman was good. Alicia Keys was good. But I guess my
expectations just weren't set that high in the first place. So it's kind of hard to be let down.
I like Joe Carnahan so much. I was expecting something serious after Narc, but not that. The Reaping. I'm a big Hilary Swank fan. Why?
You could not wait to see this movie.
I was so excited.
Yeah, you were the only one.
I saw it opening day. It was terrible. Black Book, not a bad movie by Paul Verhoeven, but I think it's seriously overrated and not very good. I don't know what I was expecting. Blades of Glory, I thought it'd be at least better than Anchorman, but it was so stupid. Funny Moments, a stupid movie. Bad movie, almost irredeemable. Evan Almighty. And, you know, a movie that wasn't terrible, but not as good as the first one. I thought Elizabeth the Golden Age. I still like the first one so much better.
I can roll with you there, yeah.
Was Clive Owen in that one?
Yes, he was. Yeah. And he was pretty good in it, too.
He was.
There were individual performances that were fine. I don't know. I still enjoyed it, but I can understand why people didn't like it too much.
Yeah, I was disappointed, but not a bad movie, but I don't think it was as good as it could have been or should have been.
Yep. I got like four more disappointing ones. First of all, Shooter. You know, Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg is primed to be a good action star. I firmly believe this. Machete was more entertaining in its 2-minute trailer than the entire movie. It's the same stinking thing.
Of course.
Thing. Where's my daughter? Yeah.
The ending was so stupid where they're all on the mountaintop.
I was just like, why? No. It was just such a stupid and ludicrous movie that they played straight instead of playing it like a grindhouse movie or something.
Yeah.
Disturbia, I know I shouldn't have expected much, but you know, I do like Shia LaBeouf as an actor. I think
and it was doing so well, and
I thought this is obviously some great movie. Yeah. I saw like this really is like a high class R.L. Stine movie mixed with a teen sex comedy.
It's Rear Window and The Burbs, but not as good. I still stand by that.
That's a great comparison.
It really is. And the last one would have to be, I just watched this recently, the movie that wished it was Napoleon Dynamite, Eagle versus Shark.
Mm.
Oh, this movie hurt.
Man, it was in theaters for like 5 seconds. Yeah, but there's had a reason. Such hype building up to it. Because I think it premiered at Sundance, and I heard all these good things about
it. Yes, many people liked that movie.
Yes,
and
people we know.
Yes, and they were on crack or something because that movie blew. Mm. It hurt.
This actually fits into two categories: bad use of Jim and like disappointing.
Okay,
smiley face, which also did that have hype?
I don't think so.
I'd heard about it,
and it was Greg Araki. He makes like all kinds of weird movies.
Yeah. What did I just watch? Yeah. And Anna Faris is really cute, too, and I don't know what she's doing. She the best part about the movie, though, is she actually does give a really good stoned performance, I guess, if that's what you want to call that.
You know, Anna Faris can act. She's got great comedic timing.
She was really...
like, she's great in Just Friends. She was great in what was it?
She's good in Lost in Translation. Yeah, she was hilarious in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. She did a good job, but just the movie was not funny. Like,
fair enough.
You know,
fair enough.
And you saw Jim masturbating too.
In John Krasinski, really?
Yeah.
In the shower.
In the shower.
Wow.
Okay then.
Didn't want to see it. Pam, no.
Holy crap!
She didn't get the memo.
Okay then. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up because we're going bad places.
Okay. Well, guilty pleasures. Guilty pleasures.
Grindhouse.
That's for me, Mr. Brooks. Mr. Brooks is my biggest guilty pleasure.
You
know, overall, Grindhouse is not a good movie, but I have not had more fun at the movies this year.
Mm. I freaking love Death Proof, though, and I think that is a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, nothing guilty about my pleasure for Grindhouse.
So actually, here's the most important question for Josh. Your favorite Mary Elizabeth Winstead performance of the year?
Mm. Oh, God.
That is a question.
Well, she had more to do in... Probably in Die Hard. Die Hard. She didn't do that much in Death
Proof. But she did wear a cheerleader outfit. She did wear a cheerleader. The entirety of that film.
Exactly. I thought she was awesome in Die Hard. When she's like, you want to go ahead and grow a bigger pair of balls because you're going to need them here. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, she did a really good job.
She really sold that character.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, Die Hard.
Cool. Okay.
Best cameo appearance? I got to go with Tom Hanks in The Simpsons and Ray Liotta in B-Movie. I thought those were just so funny, both of those.
Since you said of the year, I'm going to say that it doesn't have to be theatrical, which would have to be Al Gore in a Bender's Big Score, Futurama movie.
There you go.
Because he's flying around. He's just ahead in the future. And he's got like this little spaceship that just fits his head in a little cape. And he's flying around trying to destroy the aliens. Yay, I'm relevant again. It's absolutely awesome.
That movie could have been released theatrically. I think absolutely. I think it totally could have.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Do you have a favorite?
The Saw puppet in Dead Silence? No, I don't. I have no idea.
Is it really? It's in Dead?
It's like in the background on one shot. There's also in Death Sentence, there's a scene where these guys are in like an alley and the Saw puppet's face is like spray painted on the wall as like graffiti art.
The Superman Batman logo in I Am Legend.
Yes.
That was there you go.
I'm holding them to 2010.
Awesome. End joke.
That was so distracting from this scene, though. You have this intense scene where Will Smith is trying to get food for him and his dog, and you're like, oh, Batman Superman movie.
And especially since it's the logo from the comic, too. I'm like, very happy.
It's awesome.
2009?
10.
10.
10. Okay. Yeah, a few years to go. Best debut performance, any like breakout performances you guys especially love? My favorite movie that really wasn't any good, Meryl Streep's daughter, Mamie Gummer. Her performance in Evening for me made that whole movie, even though the film itself was so sappy and forgettable. But I thought she was great.
Got nothing.
Hate to go back to it, but Zoe Bell in Death
Proof. Oh, yes. Actually, that's a really solid pick.
Yes.
She
was good for just being a stunt person.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. She gave a real performance, a lot of attitude. She was good in that.
Cool. All right, is that about it?
I got a couple more. Just a couple more. For me, most surprising nude scenes. This is, you know, for all the geeks listening, which would be all of our audience, really. Natalie Portman in Darjeeling Limited.
You see the whole package, or?
You see quite a bit. It's like, I don't want to talk about it being like totally like pervy and delicate, but yeah, you see quite a bit of Natalie Portman. And I got to say, I was very surprised by that. And it was not in the movie. It's in the short film that accompanies the movie, Hotel Chevalier, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And probably the biggest shocker for me, just because I was such a big fan of her in the 90s. Now, Marissa Tomei and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, that is like a doctor's exam. You see freaking every inch of Marissa Tomei, and I'm like, my gosh. It's like, it's amazing to think that, you know, and she's good in the movie, and she's still a great actress, but like, you know, she's been around, you know, as a name since 1992, when Cousin Vinny came out, and, you know, this late in her career, she's doing this like nude scene that even Sharon Stone wouldn't agree to do. So,
ouch.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
You got it.
Okay, okay. And then my last two, I wanted to throw out best Korean import, South Korean import, The Host.
The Host.
Worst
absolutely.
South Korean import, D-Wars, Dragon Wars, which sucked so much.
You know, I had it pre-treated from Hollywood, and I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
I couldn't do it?
No, I just couldn't do
Not even for the great opening that we heard about?
I thought about it.
The guy explaining the...
You know, I'd been on a lack of sleep, and I'm just like, you know, no, don't feel like it. No, no.
It is so indescribably bad. I mean, I guess with DVD, if you could just like jump, skip to all the special effects scenes. The special effects are tremendous, but the movie is so amazingly, remarkably stupid from that opening scene on. It is just offensively stupid.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters this week and move on from there. What?
Can't wait.
you can't wait to see Mad Money, can you?
Yeah, that's
you
can't true. Wait. I love Queen
Latifah. Well, right. Since we start off on that note, Queen Latifah, Diane Keaton, and Katie Holmes, not in The Dark Knight.
In the movie that Katie Holmes dumped Batman for.
That's right. She's doing Mad Money instead.
Is this it?
Yes.
Is this the one?
Yes, what? This is the movie she thinking? Dumped for.
Maybe she was like, I've already done Batman. Get to work with Diane Keaton. I don't get it either.
You know what? I'm excited for Maggie, though.
She looks great. That's going to work out nicely.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. Catherine Heigl, the gorgeous Catherine Heigl, and Cyclops in 27 Dresses. And finally, one of the most hyped films of recent years. This is either going to be gigantic or all the geeks are going to see it and it's going to be Snakes on a Plane. Who knows? Cloverfield.
Yeah, we'll get a couple more
wait.
There.
Is oh, we do. I'm sorry, we do. In limited release, the new Woody Allen thriller now. That's the thriller, so you got to see this. That's, let's see, Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell in Woody Allen's thriller, Cassandra's Dream. And...
In five theaters.
Oh. Teeth.
Oh.
Now, did you catch Teeth up at the...
I did not see it, but I did... where was I? Jules and I, we saw a movie that had the trailer attached to it, and we couldn't believe... have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know whether to laugh or cry. It's like, this looks... I don't know if it's going to be terrible or funny or like even what the tone of the movie is.
I showed it to my friends like, are you kidding? It's like, nope. Yeah. Nope.
So you can't wait for Cloverfield.
Yeah, can't wait.
I'm excited. Can't either. I'm excited to see it. Absolutely.
And I'm the one... I know that you've been avoiding like all the spoiler stuff, but there's been like... Like, oh, leaked monster images, and then not real, and then this is fun to kind of... The only reason I'm doing it is just to read all the geeks, like, just flipping out over anything that's revealed.
I've got 5 days to go. It's like, yeah, I don't want any spoilers, nothing. I don't want to see anything. I got 5 days. You're wearing your Cloverfield shirt.
I'm wearing my Slush Show t-shirt.
I'm saving mine
in honor of, yes. If I go see it this weekend, I'll wear my Slush Show t-shirt.
And you guys have to watch the thing that they released last week of the what the hell am I trying to say? The rig, the ocean rig that went down.
Okay.
I think it's on Slash Film. They have all of them on Slash Film.
Okay, cool. Let's check it out.
Do I need to see before or after the movie? Is it like a serious
It's kind
spoiler?
Of a cool... No, it's not a spoiler at all. Okay. I don't show
just
anything. It's
just an appetizer.
Like, just a little bit. This is what the monster's capable of doing.
Oh, okay.
Type thing.
Cool.
So.
Okay, I'll check that out.
All right, let's hit the DVDs. There's some cool stuff and some stuff.
Next week in DVDs, you've got Torchwood, the complete first season. What's Torchwood?
Torchwood is a spinoff of Doctor Who.
Oh, I should know this.
Yes.
Holy crap.
I don't even quite know how to explain it, but I've only watched one episode when we went to Steph's Christmas party. We were staying at the Broadmoor, and they like showed like the first episode of Doctor Who, which got me hooked, and now I have to watch all that, and then the first episode of Torchwood, and I'm like, oh. It's essentially like the Doctor Who meets the X-Files.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Why haven't I heard of this? I freaking love Doctor Who. Okay. All right. Torchwood. I'm going to get it. It's the first season. Saw 4 with Mr. Tobin Bell. One of the dumbest movies of the year that made a lot of money. The Game Plan starring The Rock. Why?
I started watching this and then the file crapped out because I got it from the special antenna. And, you know, we decided not to try to finish watching it because it's like the 60s Disney formula.
Really? Yeah.
Which can roll with some people, but. Yeah.
That darn cat is not for everyone. Amanda Bynes and Sydney White, which I think only my wife saw and wife liked.
Yes, and I have to apologize. I have a review that Julia wrote of it that I didn't get up in time, so I'm going to put it up for the DVD release.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. I'm sure she'll appreciate that. And then Swamp Thing, the series. The entirety of Swamp Thing. So it's the entirety of Swampy walking around. I guess it was like last of like two seasons, I think.
Yeah, it was an awful show, but still, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, it's good for nostalgia factor. That was in the 90s that came out. So.
Yes. So I guess that's about enough. Have you got anything else that we want to discuss this week at all? Or?
Nothing. Do we get any emails, hate mail?
We do have voicemail. How could I forget that? And I get in so much trouble if I forgot to play this. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, spanking.
Yeah. Whoa there. Papa Spank. Sorry. So we got a voicemail from the good Billy Flynn talking not only about a show, but about a recent film snob, too. So that's let's go ahead and roll that.
Gentlemen. Still scrambling trying to catch up on all my various podcasts, but just did the film snob of The Thin Man, and I have to say, well, for the love of God, thank you. I adore The Thin Man series. Always been a huge fan. And oddly enough, I owe my love to it from two things. One being a Mad Magazine reprint book that had a Thin Man story in it, and I had no idea what that meant, but I read it and liked it. And then the movie Murder by Death, which has David Niven portraying Nick Charles, and I believe Maggie Smith portraying Nora. Well, they're Dickie and Dora, because it's all of your, you know, all the fun Agatha Christie-type mysteries set in the mansion. You got Peter Sellers as your Charlie Chan kind of guy. Truman Capote's in it. Sir Alec Guinness is in it. Peter Falk. It's incredibly funny, and that's how I know that. And I started watching those movies. I love those movies. The whole reason I started watching Moonlighting, thank you for bringing up that comparison, is because, oh, wow, this is Nick and Nora. This is Thin Man. Now, with all of our love for prequels and stuff that we keep having over the years, I have often wondered, why has no one made Before the Thin Man, which would show how Nick and Nora met, even have a little case. It would be fantastic. It would be fun. It would be great. We do not have enough male, female leads with dialogue as good as the Thin Man movies. Yeah, some of those cases got ridiculous, but please. Really quickly, moving on to musicals. Gentlemen, the one thing that you've left out is the musical that everyone that I know, that knows me, has watched with me, because I make everyone watch this movie. The quite oft-forgotten Trey Parker, Matt Stone classic, Cannibal, the musical. You will not find a finer musical based on a true story, the story of Alfred Packard, the only person ever to be convicted of cannibalism in the United States. It is a beautiful, moving story with some of the best songs you'll ever hear, and also, because this was done when they were college students on break, this is pre-South Park and all that, but you still get to hear some of those fun voices. So that's just too fun. By the time I believe we talk again, I believe we'll have our top 10 movie lists up, and, well, I'll keep my mouth closed until I have ours to compare, and you keep up the good work, guys, and I'll catch you later. Bye!
Thanks to Mr. Flynn. I'm glad you enjoyed the Thin Man discussion, because those are some awesome movies.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good suggestion for a Thin Man prequel. I would be curious to see where they came from. And I want to also say really quick, I have seen Murder by Death, and amazing cast. I thought it was kind of a lame movie. As a kid, funny, but kind of a lame movie. I think the movie that is the best of its kind for that particular genre, as far as like 70s and 80s go, has to be Clue, the movie, as far as being like a mystery thriller comedy kind of movie. But
although I did love Murder by Death, especially when I was younger. Yeah.
As a kid, I loved it.
So I need to Netflix it and see what I think of it now.
Yeah, I swear, it hasn't held up all that well, because I did see it a few years ago, and it wasn't as funny as I remembered.
Okay, because I was up at Entertainment, and they had it used for like $15. I'm like, ooh.
It's hard to find. It really is hard to come by.
Have you guys seen Cannibal, the musical?
Gosh.
No.
I've seen parts of it. Like, I've seen the part where I think it's the spelunking song, the one that everybody loves, or schlabunking, or I'm screwing it up. But there's like this one song that everybody knows that's really funny, and that's the part of it I've seen, but not in its entirety. I couldn't do it.
So funny. Matt Stone and Trey Parker got kicked out of Boulder. But they have in the lobby of this new building, the Atlas building that was just built. they play like clips of it during the day on the walls and stuff. So
really, it's really like the funny. Trey Parker Matt Stone Museum.
Yeah, basically, and which is really funny. And we also have the Alfred Packard Grill that you can go get food from.
Oh my gosh,
creepy.
That's a little odd. That'd be like the Donner Party wrong. Restaurant. That's just creepy.
Do you have any Lovitz meat pies back there?
Whoa. Okay, then. Wow, that's kind of scary.
All the fun stuff you can see in Colorado.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow. Forget the Air Force Academy or the mountains or, go to the
Cannibal Academy.
Yeah, if you ever up in Boulder, just come call me up and we'll go into the Alfred Packard Grill.
There you go. What in the hell? Yeah, cool. Okay, let's wrap this bad boy up. If you care to email any of us, you can hit all of us. Barry, Dave, or now Josh at ScreenGeeks.com. And you can also email us at podcast@ScreenGeeks.com. And we have a voicemail number on the site. I don't have it in front of me. It might be down for a little while, but don't sweat it if it is. We're not like quitting the show or anything. So welcome aboard officially, sir.
Thank you.
Yay! We've been working on this for a while.
Thanks for having me.
Yippee! Cool. And next week we'll talk about worst of so we can install some more. So worst of the year.
That's right.
Until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.